Love Blindness, The Queen of Hearts by Alison Brett Hill. December. Monday the 24th, December 1956. Well, another year is almost over. 1956 has been a good year, though. Two books published, good reviews, and a third book in the pipeline. Although I'm good at churning out books, I'm useless at diaries. I have never once managed to keep one for more than a couple of weeks. Anyhow, let's see what 1957 will bring. Maybe this will be the year when I finally manage to crack this diary lark that everyone else seems to find so easy. As we will have company tomorrow, Liz and I started Christmas early this evening. We sat in front of the fire in the drawing room, drinking snowballs and talking. We also exchanged gifts. I gave her a bottle of perfume and she gave me this diary. Given that I've never even succeeded in keeping track of a shopping list, goodness knows why Lizzie gave it to me. Anyhow, give it to me she did, so I better give it my best shot. What the hell do you write in a diary anyway? Heaven only knows. I dare say, deep down, my aversion to diaries is because I don't want to remember and I don't want to confess. Still, if I'm going to have to keep one, I suppose a New Year's resolution would be a good place to start. Resolution number one. Write a new diary entry every day. While I'm about it, I should probably stop smoking and lay off the sauce, as Papa called it. Well, if I'm going to have to keep a diary, the least I could do is soften the blow with a drop of cognac and a cigarette. So, scrub those two from the list. What next? Perhaps a quick recap is in order. My life up until December 1956. I am 45 years old and a writer of romantic fiction. The Oxford Daily Reporter called me the Queen of Hearts in its latest review. A bit over the top, but I'm not averse to flattery. So that about sums it up. No children, three dogs and an assistant named Lizzie. Not to mention my husband Henrik, with whom I have a loving but somewhat malleable relationship. I live in a lovely rambling old house, the house in which my father's family have lived for generations. It is called The Beeches, and is situated in the heart of Oxfordshire. I live with the aforementioned. Henrik comes and goes. Given that I spend all my days churning out works of literature, I'm all written out. That's why I've never managed to keep a diary. Yes, that must be it. There, diary obligation fulfilled for today. Painless. Where's the cognac? Tuesday, 25th of December, 1956. Henrik is here with us, along with my second cousin Jane, her husband Giles and their three boys. The sole topic of conversation is Giles' recent promotion to bank manager, a topic so dull that even Henrik is starting to become impatient, and he has the patience of a saint. I even noticed him stealing a furtive glance at his wristwatch. With Jane and Giles, every other sentence is an attempt at one-upmanship, and it's really rather exhausting. If I hear one more time that children are a blessing, it's such a pity not to experience the joys of parenthood. No career could give the same joy. I shan't be responsible for my actions. After that, Jane jibes about the fact I hadn't cooked the meal myself because I'd let my housekeeper Mrs. Summers do it for me, and, frankly, I'm feeling murderous. For obvious reasons, neither Henrik nor I wanted Jane and Giles to have the satisfaction of knowing that we are, to all intents and purposes, separated, and that, in fact, Henrik spends most of his time at his apartment in Oxford. Henrik originally acquired the apartment as an overnighter for when he was working late or travelling on business. He has gradually spent more and more time there, so I've never had to explain his absence. A separation has never been official. It just evolved. Anyhow, as usual, we put on an excellent display of marital bliss. I thought the day would never end. However, end it did. I think Lizzie, Henrik and I breathed a collective sigh of relief when our five guests decided it was bedtime. After Jane had herded her children upstairs and Lizzie went to bed, Henrik joined me in the study. He yanked a sprig of mistletoe from one of the decorations, pulled me into his arms and kissed me. "Merry Christmas, darling," he said, in between kisses.
"Merry Christmas," I mumbled in reply.
"I thought they would never go to bed," he whispered close to my ear. "It was beginning to look that way. I'm exhausted." "I'd better put you to bed then," he said with a smile as he picked me up in his arms and carried me up the stairs to my bedroom.